go, and hey yo, with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo.
Here we go.
We got a few topics today. I think I'm going to hit the first one for us. I think we got an interesting one here, one I think you will have a strong opinion on. I know I do.
Really?
Better promo. Straight up, Vince or Eric Bischoff?
Well, I think the first question on everyone's mind is straight up, do you really want to love me forever? Or did you just catch me on a hit and run?
Okay, yeah, get to the damn point.
I think that's an actual point, though, for both of them, is that we talk about Vince and Eric. Both great promos, Eric Bischoff, Vince McMahon, great, but I look at it as Vince McMahon is the best promo of the two, and the reason being, short and sweet, is that Vince McMahon's promos drew money.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think as really? Far as, like, yeah, actually, that's rare, because usually, you know, I'd like to be right. But in this case, I'll agree with you, because whereas Vince, Eric and Vince as a actual performer on screen, as a interesting character, as an actor, if you want to say, I think they're both about equal. I think the difference is that Eric was constantly using his promos to put himself over and to not try and draw money, whereas Vince's promo, not that he didn't try and put himself mm-hmm. over. I mean, he was, I'm Vince McMahon, damn it. But and there was something to that. But Vince allowed himself to become a cartoon character and did largely promo in order to draw money instead of just put himself over.
Well, that's where I'll disagree with you slightly, is because actually I think that Eric Bischoff is the better performer of the two. I really do.
He might be.
I honestly think he is, but Vince McMahon always, you know, not always. Let's cut that right down. Is it Vince McMahon has had his share of faults in especially in the last, you know, 10 years, but as has Eric, but Vince has used his promo power for good rather than evil, essentially, more so than Eric Bischoff. I mean, Eric Bischoff, especially now with TNA, and we mentioned in our last show, is that, quite frankly, I don't watch a lot of TNA because I can't stand to watch a lot of TNA, and one of the reasons is that I watch Eric Bischoff, and he's a great entertainer and a great promoter, I guess, in terms of his promo ability and what he's talking about is doing, but it's not actually leading to anything.
It could be renamed TNE for Total Nonstop Eric, as a matter of fact.
Well,
he's on it quite a bit. I mean, he, whether that's for ego or whether that's because they don't know, if there's another character who can draw, I don't know. But I do know that Eric is more likely to go out there and do a promo to make himself look cool instead of do a promo to draw money.
Yeah.
The question, though, becomes, though, I mean, as long as we're talking about these two and who's the better promo, let's hit this. And here's going to throw this one out to you.
That's what she said.
Is Paul Heyman a better promo than either one of those?
Is Paul Heyman a better promo than either one of them? Paul Heyman has been, at times, yes. Paul Heyman has been a better promo than both of them. I think has he had his promos? Yes. Where it was time to draw the money and do what needed to be done in the early stages in that fall of, I believe it was 96 of the NWO, right? You know, around the time when Piper debuted and it really, NWO was hitting their stride and Bischoff was announced as the leader of the NWO and he was having some promos there, and at that point, and he's had great promos since, and an individual promo performance doesn't necessarily make it great. His delivery has been great since, but it's, again, it's about drawing money, and Vince has drawn some money with them. I mean, I look at, him in Austin and him in the corporate ministry and him, you know, even the reveal of the hood, you know, it was me, Austin, it was me all along, you know, just doing those sorts of things. But Paul Heyman, I mean, you know, network, I dare you to throw me off the air. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. But did that draw any money? Well,
was that
help kill the company? Probably, yes.
Possibly. I mean, was that Paul Heyman, as far as his as a character, as a delivery, and even as the psychology of his promos, is probably as good as either one of them. Yes. And that probably stems from the fact that he started as a manager. So he has a different, I believe he has a slightly different take.
Wow.
He's certainly talking about... but I'll say this. The thing about Vince McMahon and his promos, he wanted you to hate him. Vince McMahon was willing, though, in things like his walk to the ring. He knew that was ridiculous. Things like pissing himself in the ring, in things like having his head stuck up Rikishi or Big Show's ass or whatever.
Well, that was on national TV. Everybody saw that.
He is absolutely willing to make himself put in a position to please the crowd. That doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to have to look cool. Whereas Eric Bischoff, and even I think maybe to some, well, not so much Heyman, but certainly Bischoff is not willing to do that because Bischoff wants you to think he's so fucking cool.
Well,
there's a point where it stops becoming a positive. He passes.
You have a couple of good points. I mean, Heyman showing
right.
Well, left maybe, but Heyman. I mean. Heyman certainly has no problem showing his ass, that's for sure. And I think Bischoff, I think for a large degree, unfortunately, does. And again, he just one of those situations where he builds himself up with these heel factions that don't ever get taken over, or the babyfaces never get their heat. And that's been the story of TNA. And quite frankly, that's before, Bischoff even got there, so I can't really blame that on him, or I can't blame him on him at all, and I don't
Bischoff
tend to.
Bischoff was never really cool. He was just associated in the 90s with other people who were perceived as cool.
Well,
Nash was perceived as cool. Same as Hogan. Hogan wasn't cool, but he's perceived as cool
because
he was with Nash and Hall.
I mean, I don't know Bischoff. I don't know whether he was cool
he's
or not.
Cool.
I mean,
you can tell when he's on camera. Say what it is. He's sleazy. He's charismatic. He's not cool. He's certainly not cool in 2011.
I really look at, again, I talk about the, it was me, Austin, and those sorts of things. But Heyman had the ability to... I look at a promo right before the Survivor Series when it was the Alliance versus the WWF at the time. And it was on SmackDown. And it was about, I don't know, about 5-10 minutes. And it was basically Heyman calling Vince McMahon out.
I remember
and talking
that.
To him,
that
and I'll never and I will never forget it because I remember at a few moments at my leisure, I will call out Vince McMahon, and I just never and it was there was a combination of shoot and of work, but the majority of it was shoot, and I remember watching it with a friend at an apartment I lived in, and I remember we kept going, "Okay, shoot, okay, work, okay, shoot." Okay, and it was just going so far there, and that's why I think Paul Heyman is the best promo of the three.
I think Paul Heyman knows when a shoot can draw money and when the work can draw money, and Eric certainly doesn't understand that. And frankly, I'm not sure Vince does.
I think Vince does, but I think Vince gets a little bit caught up in what he's doing, and I think. Separating that, but I do believe he feels, at least with the Bret Hart match, that the Mr. McMahon character is dead, and so I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of that, which I think is the right way to go. I mean, I think we do need
last time he strode to the ring, did he do that power walk that Vince
of course
did?
He does. He's always
cartoon power walk.
He is always going to, until the day he dies, he's going to do that. I mean, he will, but...
My favorite thing maybe in the last dying years in WCW was Kevin Nash coming to the ring doing that.
The Wizard?
That
yes.
Was, something else.
That was tremendous. Okay, so that's Mo's first topic. Apparently Mo's got another topic. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, because I'm the one who actually comes prepared for the show, but nevertheless, here we go. Our number two. Speaking of Nash, since we brought him up towards the end, I'm sure his name will come up in this next subject, but really not actually talking about him right now. I'm talking about more modern stars who are currently at the top of the card, who will main event a pay-per-view, who will main event a major show.
A big show?
A big show. Whoa. People who are either in a main event or semi-main event position on a regular basis on either TNA or WWE.
Getcha.
Which of these individuals would you consider to be the laziest guy right now who is still getting a major push?
Right now, today, on TV today, what's the laziest guy getting a major push? Is what
essentially,
you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Who do you think is
on any television program?
Let's say either the top two companies. With any of the top two companies, the one that's the top company.
You mean I can't?
The one that's not that barely exists that some people watch that okay. want to consider themselves a top company.
All right, because I'm pretty pissed off at something going on in Jersey All Pro right now. But if you just want me to. Talk about
let's keep this
right.
top too.
All right. Right now, I mean, I think the answer to that in terms of lazy, that sounds like a big knock actually is lazy. I don't mean it as a knock at all. It just I want to say most undeserving, I guess possibly.
Okay. I want to say lazy.
And we talked about our last show and to me, the guy is Sting.
I mean, he's never been certainly the most dedicated to the sport, I don't believe.
No, but he's right now, and again, spoiler alert, I don't know, you know, exactly when the show's going to air, but it may air before 3-1 or 3-3-11 or whatever the fuck it is. But it probably will, and quite frankly, it's we're sitting here and we're talking.
Quite frankly, eh?
Quite frankly, I know. What's going on?
Let's click a beer, because every time you say quite frankly, see how fucking ripped we get, because you say it 400 times a show.
I've been told that's the drinking game, folks. I got an email saying that is the drinking game, is how many times I say quite frankly, and quite frankly, I say it a lot.
So quite here we frankly, go. What do you have to say about Sting?
What I have to say about Sting, though, is that we're talking about guys that don't deserve what they've got, and that was your question, is who currently
is at the top
is the laziest and at the top of the card, and I don't know that anybody else that it really fits the mode in terms of lazy. Like, I look at WWE, and I look at, you know, at Edge and Del Rio and Cena and Miz and Rock and all these guys and Hunter and Taker, and I can't really say that they're lazy, but then I look at Ed Sting, who's the TNA champion as of whatever it is next Thursday, and you're looking at a guy and going, okay, well, he doesn't deserve what he's got, and not really from a long-term perspective or anything. I mean, Sting has been very lucky with what he's had, and luck is really played into it, but I don't think Sting deserves to be with it. So, I mean, to me, he hasn't done anything with his push. So I don't want to say that Sting is lazy, per se, because that's the wrong words, but I don't think he's deserving of being the TNA champion, because I don't think he's put in what he needs to put in to be a champion, and I don't think they're going to get out what they need to get out for him also to be the champion.
Okay, and the question, though, of course, wasn't who was the most deserving, because that is a whole other subject. I'm talking about who's the laziest.
Shut up.
But it is a whole other subject. I mean, you have to admit, that's a whole other argument, and I could have that
good
argument.
Well, I just went on for 5 minutes.
Yeah, of course, but I'm going to stick to the laziest, because I look at the culture of the WWE, and I think they're not really so likely to push somebody who's lazy at this point in their history. I mean, because the people at the top of their card, because the people like Edge, nobody's going to accuse Edge of being lazy. Nobody's going to accuse Cena of being lazy. I mean, one thing you can't say about Cena, I am not a Cena lover, but I sure am not. No, I'm sure as hell, though, I'm not going to accuse that guy of being lazy. He has 10 times the work ethic of anybody I've ever seen, pretty
including
much.
You.
Especially me. I mean, I'll admit it right now. I'm lazy. And
took Mo four times just to do this program, actually.
Yeah, well, the first couple times, just didn't feel up to it. But nevertheless.
That's what she said.
The point being, though, that as I lose my thought because of you prick.
That's what I did.
But nevertheless, I don't think within the culture of the WWE it's really very easy at this point in their history to get to the top of the card being lazy.
That's
within
true.
TNA, you can see them because they'll bring in people who are past their prime, who have a feeling that they don't need to work hard anymore, that this is a country club atmosphere. Right. I do think that there is a sense that people can come in there and be lazier and still get the push. Rob Van Dam certainly is not having the Rob Van Dam certainly is not having the work ethic that I think that we think he could. Jeff Hardy, to me, is the laziest. That would be the number one guy. I mean, Matt Hardy is in better shape than he was when he first debuted a couple weeks ago. Jeff Hardy's going through the motions. I mean, there's absolutely no question about it. And
there was a tremendous flight he had from Indonesia or Ecuador or wherever the hell it was back to TNA. So come on, let's give Jeff Hardy a break. No, but seriously, let's look at it from a reality standpoint.
Well,
unfortunately, yeah, it is serious. But I mean, well, my joke wasn't serious. But it's funny. Well, you're a joke, quite frankly. But I look at TNA. Speaking of jokes, I mean, to put the title on Jeff Hardy, a man that may not be convicted of drug conspiracy charges. I mean, there's cocaine involved there. I mean, there's residue of cocaine. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. There's cocaine involved, and I don't know how any company. It doesn't matter if it's a wrestling company, it doesn't matter if it, whatever company it is, you know, a FedEx or a bank or a grocery store chain, that can allow their employees to be...
Two words for you, Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you can make so much money for the company, they can overlook anything. Should they? That's a whole other thing. I mean, Charlie Sheen is kind of in point.
Sheen
is kind of to the point where you have to wonder, is the person going to be dead in 2 years if CBS doesn't step in? I'm not sure Jeff Hardy is in that point. But you're right. The question is less, should he be convicted? The question is more, should he be pushed as somebody who maybe perhaps... has done something wrong or is in a bad place, but I still think he's lazy.
I understand it happens. I understand when you have control. And I'm not saying that because the Charlie Sheens of the world exist, that Jeff Hardy should exist, you know, in the same realm or the same light. I don't know that's right, and I don't think it is. To me, it's, you know, it's like, well, Charlie Sheen does it. Oh, okay. You know, it's, you know, like I used to do this whole thing when I was a kid and say, you know, well, Tommy's going to do it. Well, if Tommy jumps off a bridge, would you do it? That's what my mom used to say. Well, if Charlie Sheen blows his face full of crack and screws hookers, Jeff Hardy, would you do it? No. And that's the thing. And to me, I don't give a crap, quite frankly, here that go, about Jeff Hardy. As a person in this situation, I don't want anything to happen to Jeff Hardy. You don't want to say that I don't care. But when we're talking about this, when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at a TNA company perspective. And I'm saying, if someone is accused of drug charges, I don't want the damn belt on him.
No.
And they took the belt off him.
I know what you're saying. All I'm saying is you can't say TNA is the only ones who would act like this in this situation.
Yes.
Is it right that CBS is doing what they're doing with Charlie Sheen? Absolutely not, in my opinion. Is it right that TNA is acting the way they do?
My point, though, is
that you can't say the TNA is sitting there doing something wrong and it's only TNA who would do that.
My point is
that many, many people would do that.
I sit there all the time with people that and I won't even talk about what I do for a living, but for what I do for a living, people have to come to me, and I evaluate them on a quarterly basis, an annual basis, and they'll come to me, and there'll be some people that'll be, you know, what about this person? Well, you know what? When I talk to them, I don't care about what this person, because I'm just evaluating you. And in this case, I'm just evaluating TNA because CBS and Two and a Half Men does that. That doesn't mean that Jeff Hardy can go out and do that, and that doesn't make it any more right. It doesn't make it any less right. And from my perspective, I don't give a crap what CBS does. I just care about what TNA is doing. And TNA has shown ineptitude after ineptitude for what has gone on in their company since... I'm trying to think of how long it's been now. God, it's been probably 5 years.
The company's been around for 8, actually. But Yeah, I mean, you might have been able to give them a good 6 months or something like that.
I bet they've had... When Scott D'Amore was booking them, and when Samoa Joe came in, hell, they were doing... They were peaking. They peaked, and then they hired Vince Russo, and there were blow-up dolls involved, and then Kurt Angle came in, and we thought, well... Maybe that will balance it out, and no, it did.
All right, let's hit this then. And this is something we weren't going to hit, but we've gotten off on a TNA thing.
What about your mom?
We've gotten off on a TNA subject. We've gotten off on, you just mentioned Scott D'Amore. Where would TNA be right now, ratings wise, and pay per view buys wise? As you open another beer, which I recommend actually to everybody listening as well.
That's of age.
Where would they be today, pay-per-view buy-wise and rating-wise, if D'Amore had been there, Russo had never come in, Hogan and Bischoff had never come in, where do you believe they'd be today?
Where do I believe they've been today? See, that's tough, because honestly, where I really think that they would be today, ratings-wise, I think they'd be the same. I think they'd be in that 1-3, maybe a little bit better, maybe 1-3, 1-4 level. But I think their pay-per-view buys, and again, it's not public information, so we're just going off of...
What everyone says.
I always talk about everyone.
What the highest insiders in the industry say.
Yeah, I have to refer to a Dave Meltzer who knows that sort of thing and talks to those people, and Brian Alvarez and a Wade Keller and a Mike Johnson.
Wade, you said Keller.
And because of that. Yes, but regardless, there are people that are talking to TNA and know it. And again, we're talking about things that are in the four figures. Yeah. And we're talking about four-figure buy rates, you know, which is under 10,000. And maybe 10.
8 to 12,000. 8 to 12, yeah. And that's... Year. As you have a drink.
I thought you were going to talk, but that's not good. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know how else to put that. I mean, that's shit. And they're talking about how, well, you know, the pay-per-view industry is dead. You know, well, yeah, if you kill it, it is. And so if you make it so no one wants to buy your shit on fucking pay-per-view, then no one's going to fucking see it, and it's going to fucking die. So that's fucking it, you fucking idiots.
This show will have more swearing than the previous one.
Fuck! I mean, Christ. That's just the deal, though. I mean, I can't understand people going off about, well, the... pay-per-view, well, it ain't for fucking UFC now, is it?
No, but that's the point, though.
That's real, pal.
That's real. Well, you know what?
Can be honest with you.
Well, wait. I think Vinnie Roux is on the line, and we'll talk to him hopefully soon here. But you know what? I believe...
David Arquette.
I have actually Bruce Hart. Bruce, one half of Bad Company, it appears. I don't know... That's who it seems is. One half of Stampede Wrestling's greatest tag team.
We do. We have one half of Bad Company on the line. We talked about some interviews last show, and we do have one half, because the line's going here, just assumes it, and it's one half of Bad Company. And how are you doing today? Hypothesis, it's just, you know, well, good, Bruce, so we're just going to put you on hold, because we have another topic we have to discuss,
yeah,
but we'll just put you on hold.
Just collect your thoughts, Bruce, well, just collect your thoughts, I promise to come back to you a little later, Bruce, just collect your damn thoughts, Bruce, okay, enough, Bruce, okay, we're off. Damn it.
Okay. Well, that was awkward.
That was a little awkward.
He's got a new book coming out.
Now, and like I said, Jeff Hardy. But let's get back into this. If we're talking about the laziest right now, okay, let's hit this then. Who's the laziest ever to be...
The man.
Let's say, the man, to have been financially rewarded despite his laziness. You would put in.
And honestly, before we keep going, I just want to mention Bruce Hart has a book coming out here, so we're just gonna hit him back. He just apparently had a little bit of a problem, but
I think he wasn't prepared for the question of hello, how are you?
Yeah,
but anyways, just saying.
Who could see that coming? But really, we're gonna look at the laziest wrestler now of all time, and really, I that What's the criteria? We're talking about laziest wrestler that's ascended to the highest heights?
The laziest wrestler that's been financially rewarded despite his laziness.
All right. Well, I have three.
Okay.
Can I hit all three?
Hit all three. Okay, I got no opinion until I hear how wrong you are.
Okay. Yes. Well, all three.
Well,
here.
You do that. I'm going to open another
all
beer.
Three.
God damn it.
All three. So we got Mr. Nash. You know, Big Daddy Cool, Diesel. I think you got to give it.
We might talk about him.
Yeah, leave it to Nash. I think the other thing you got to look at is his partner in crime, AO, Scott Hall. I think you have to look at Scott Hall as being another just lazy man. I don't know, I may be using that term wrong, because with Scott Hall, laziness is probably the wrong word.
Yeah,
or the
I never
wrong
thought of him as lazy.
Well, you know what?
Not but meeting his potential.
Well, he didn't, but I mean, when you're hungover, hell, when I'm hungover, I'm lazy as fuck. Okay, so
in other words, you're lazy almost all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but I got to give that to him too, because I mean, it's one of those things that the potential that he had, and people say, no, it doesn't mean his potential, and da 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 da. I mean, hell, that might put Jake the Snake into another category. But I mean, when you talk about Scott Hall didn't reach his potential. When you talk about lazy, I think Scott Hall went into lazy stints, not on purpose, but again because of you know, his
issues.
Demons, yes, as it were. I mean, Scott Hall, or Kevin Nash, sorry, yeah, lazy. Most with the least they talk about, right? I mean, that's him.
Well, I mean, so he has, when the nickname is Big Lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all you have to say.
And that's just it. And the other one that I had, I don't
Though,
remember,
at
so
some
go
point
ahead.
Time you have to, I have to wonder for Nash.
IRS. No, I'm
no,
just kidding.
No, no. Okay, I have to say this about Nash. I mean, his reputation is as Big Lazy. He was a good promo. I don't think he had a lot of athletic ability, particularly. He was a big man. He had a ton of operations. I don't know that something like his laziness is more than a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, that guy's lazy. Oh, I'm going to talk about his lazy. That's lazy. And then it becomes that he is lazy. So his reputation as that, I'm not saying it's not deserved, but I am saying that it is easy for such things to get, you know.
Kind of blown out of proportion a
yeah,
bit. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's cool.
Let's hear your third guy.
I don't remember.
Ricky Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat. Fuck that guy. That guy was, I mean, did you see that match against the Honky Tonk Man? Could he have done any less? For God's sakes.
Well, not.
I mean, quite.
What about that 60 minutes he went with Ric Flair?
Well, you weren't there.
No.
You don't know.
I wasn't there.
You don't know.
Just tell me, actually, is that Ric Flair on the line? I think it. Rick,
woo!
Rick, did
woo!
You, did you
woo!
Ever, did you ever go 60 minutes in your career?
60 minutes. Every night, Steamboat, Flair, you weren't there.
Did you sell out?
You, every night. Sell out every night, 60 minutes, on the clock, Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair, you weren't there, Mo.
Now, I was talking
woo,
to my good
you
friend.
You weren't there.
I was talking to my good friend Harley Race the other day.
Harley?
Yeah, he's my
Harley.
Good friend. I was talking to him.
Harley, no. Harley.
He was telling me, because I know him really well.
You know. 60 minutes every night, bell to bell, bleed, sweat, pay the price. I know Harley, okay? I know Harley.
So,
Mo,
yeah, but I talked to him.
No, you talk to him. You talk to him. You don't know Harley.
Okay, well, thanks.
You talk to Harley. You don't know Harley.
Good point, Rick. Good point. All right,
woo!
Rick. Okay, all right. We're going to hit the next subject.
Hey, whoa. Can you pay my bar tab? Woo! TNA! TNA! I talked to him. They won't. Woo! Pay my bar tab.
Credit card maxed out, is it? All right.
Woo!
Here we go.
I asked him. I said, with a tear woo, in my eye. This is the biggest
top
bar tab of my life.
Excellent. All Right. So Chris Jericho, of course, I think we're all anticipating. Thanks, Rick. Chris Jericho, but Adam, you're back. Good to hear you.
I'm good. Flair, he just seemed like...
It's almost like he's just like...
I just said to you, I gave him some money. I don't know.
He said something about his bar tab.
I don't know. Sometimes
I see Ric Flair outside begging for money, but nevertheless.
Did he play in the CFL? I don't know.
Canadian reference. But anyways, Chris Jericho. When he comes back, how do you re-debut him? I mean, considering the debut he had the first time within the WWE, considering the debut, and I don't know how long he'll be gone. I'd be surprised if it isn't at least 12 to 15 months. Long enough that his comeback will probably have some impact. And people will be anxious to see him. So the question becomes, what do you do? What do you do to re-debut the guy who's had, frankly, two of the better debuts
over the last
20 years?
So the question is, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do, brother?
You know, that's actually a very good question. We talked about this earlier and off air, and we talked about a little bit of...
We don't talk off air. I don't like you.
I know. Well, hey.
Have another beer.
You don't know Mo. But... We talked about it a little bit earlier, and Mo's sort of thing was how he came in back to the Fed in a couple different ways, and my sort of feeling of it was that he kind of came in the same way, whether it was the Countdown Millennium Clock or it was the Break the Code deal.
The second was a twist on the first, right?
So I think he's going to come back again on that twist. I do. I think you keep history alive, and you do that. But how he actually comes back on his debut is a different story. And how do you come back on your debut is a completely different story again. Because I the answer is I don't know. I don't know how you bring Jericho back. I really don't. I mean, Jericho's last character, he's... you know, his suit-wearing, Shawn Michaels is a hypocrite, he's taken the line from Nick Bockwinkel, you know, it's not plebeian, but it's something similar,
yeah,
you know.
Similar.
And anyway, the deal is there, and Jericho, too, you know, has mentioned, he got that from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
That was his...
Inspiration.
Thank you for that. And really, so who
Say
knows
quite
what's
frankly
going
now,
to?
You haven't said it in a
well,
while.
Quite frankly, who knows what's going to inspire him? Quite frankly, later. And quite frankly, it's fine because I think that that's what makes it great. Is that we don't know what Jericho's going to come back with.
I don't think he comes back in a third way, third time with a third twist on that same one. On the one hand, it does continue continuity. On the other hand, it seems to me that it becomes a bit trite. I don't know.
But that continuity is so important.
Thank you, Gorilla. But nevertheless, I do think that may be an issue. I'd like to see him come
Would
back.
Would you be
totally
serious?
Different. I'd like to see him come back in a... Where is he hitting him?
Below the belt. Below the belt.
Yes, it is. And that's a shock to the kidneys, right?
The thing was is that he put his head down and paid for it. He made a cardinal mistake for a ring veteran.
But you know what? Booker T is the one who
I love Gorilla Monsoon.
Booker T is the one who uses all the cliches. Mm. Nevertheless. Hey,
can I get in on that right now? Can we talk about Booker T?
Wait, I just want to first ask, since Gorilla is currently inhabiting your body, I'm just wondering, I see Greg Valentine on the way to the ring. I understand this match is only going 60 minutes.
Wow, 60 minutes. Oh, 60 minutes? That's going to be tough. It takes this fellow 45 minutes just to get warmed up.
All right, let's hit Booker T.
Oh, I love Gorilla. Let's hit Booker T. We talk about Jericho. We talk about re-debuting Jericho. We never actually answered the question because, quite frankly, I don't know.
Chance. You never
okay, well, then go. Go,
go. Let me say this. Okay, Jericho can't come back, in my opinion, to be the exact same. He would be trite as far as a character. Also, I don't believe he can come back and simply be the same character, the No Country for Old Men character, if you will. He can't come back and be the rock star character, and he can't be something in between. He's talked about coming back as a brand new character. That's good, but I don't know how you create a brand new original character without doing either the bombastic or the a little bit more reserved character. It'll be interesting to see, though, because I believe Jericho... is talented enough to come up with something that'll be interesting. But I do not know that we can expect this guy to step in necessarily with the character that is going to be quite as good as it will be, say, a couple months down the road once he really starts to get his feet running on the new character. I do believe that it is time for him to come in, though, and be a face. I think Chris Jericho has, if you really look at his history within the WWE, I think a lot of people think that he was a face for a good deal of the time during his run in the 90s. His run in the 90s was a strong run. His run recently was stronger. His run recently was so strong that I believe he's going to come in as a heel, even if he's gone for 2 years. Usually if a person's gone for a couple of years, they come back, they're instant face. Jericho's heel character, I believe, was so strong he's going to come back in as a heel regardless, but I think it's time for the guy who has probably had 80% of his career of within the WWE as actually as a heel. I think it's time for this guy to have a long face run.
See, I agree largely. I think that right now, the only reason that I disagree, and I don't want to say a long face run, and it's a problem that the WWE's just been forced, not forced with it, I don't want to say that, because of course it's a work, so they have control over it, but there have been a vast shortage, though, of baby faces.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the roster, right? I mean, especially Shawn Michaels goes, Bret Hart goes, and it's like, an Undertaker goes, and it's like, oh, shit. Well, there go the fucking guys from the 90s.
Yeah.
So now we're stuck with Cena, and shit is really, and no offense to Kofi or Morrison, who they're trying to get going, but I mean, with Jericho, I think a long, drawn-out Jericho-Morrison feud is the deal for me.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I would love to see Jericho do that to put him over towards probably the end, but I don't think he can do that right away. Jericho comes in at a level higher than where Morrison is right
Yes,
now.
He does, but then Morrison knocks his ass fucking back down, because I don't think Jericho gives a shit at this point in terms of his stature. And his, I don't want to say he doesn't give a shit, because that's the wrong word, but I mean, you know what I mean?
No,
but,
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
he's confident enough that he can...
Yeah, he's not a... He's not a cocksucking fucking jickass that's all like, that's What about my spot?
No, in fact...
No, Jericho's confident in the fact that the fucker can work, and he knows what he's doing, and he's over.
He knows that he can go out there and...
And he's Canadian, for God's sake.
Even if he loses a bunch of matches in a row, we won't hold that against him, but even if he loses a bunch of matches in a row, he's confident that he can go out there, cut a promo, and get his heat back, and he should be confident.
He can, because he can do it. He
absolutely.
Can do it.
You know, a great pro... You know who knows about great promos? Let me just see if I can ask Bruce Hart about... Let me just... Hold on one second. Bruce, have you collected your thoughts?
Trepidation and otherwise, the Plains of Abraham and, had some stuff with the Japs and,
Okay, Bruce, thank you. Bruce hasn't quite... I don't know if Bruce is a little tired today. He hasn't quite got it yet. Nevertheless, the point
is
Jericho, I believe... We don't know if Jericho, as the face of the company, given the John Cena spot, given the Rock spot, as a face, can draw money, because he's never been given the chance. We know he's a great performer. We know he's a Hall of Famer. We don't know that.
Well, you know, I kind of agreed to some point. I mean, he did get his run, I think. I think Jericho, I don't want to say about his legacy, but I mean, I guess that's the right word. Is it? To me, he did solidify his legacy with the Shawn Michaels.
His second run was better than his first run.
His second run, I mean, and that's his book, as it sort of stops when he's about to finish his best run of his career, and I guess there's another book coming, so I can't wait for that. I can't wait to read a second book yet, so...
Yeah, I'll buy that soon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's go into you got your topics here, and we're going to do a spot. We're going to do a place called sort of Memory Lane. Memory Lane segment. We're going to talk about some stuff from yesteryear, the glory days of yesteryear, but I want to get a couple of current topics out of the way here. I don't want to say out of the way, because that's the wrong word, but yeah, let's talk about Alberto Del Rio and him as champion. I mean, I'm guessing that you you already knew that. But what do you think about Alberto Del Rio as the SmackDown champion beating Edge at WrestleMania? Because, I mean, at this point, all signs do really point to that happening.
I understand the psychology behind wanting to put the belt on this guy. You know, he's probably the best-developed, most charismatic new character to debut within the company in a long time.
Can you believe that in Mexico, Dos Caras, I guess, is what he was. Can you believe he wore a mask?
Yeah, and was considered to have absolutely no charisma at all.
Yeah. This guy, I mean, like, to me, 95% of the reason I like this guy is because his facials, his smile.
That smile, to me, is why a lot of people talk about him someday being
and
a face.
And the wink.
In the wing, because people talk about someday turning face. Yeah. I look at that and I think, this guy's a heel. This guy, that smile, that wink, this guy's a natural born heel, and I think you run with it. Now, as far as him being, though, the champion, again, we never see. I'm sick and tired of seeing these short term champions. Edge, currently, he's only been the champion, what, a week or so here? Because, of course, he lost it to Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yes, yeah. I forgot, yes.
So, his 11th championship now, thank God.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the point being, I'd like to see Edge have a long run. Ratings have actually gone up with Edge. I think they underestimate and disrespect slightly Edge's following, I guess you could say.
I guess you could probably say that. With Edge, he he's 11-time champion, and I don't know.
The 11th one was the most special.
Well, it was, thank God he got that. But I look at Edge, and he's one of the most, I guess, when you say, like, Edge is an 11-time champion, I guess part of me goes, really?
Huh. Yeah, I know.
You know, and I go, wow. I mean, and
that's
I sit
six times more than Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I know, brother. But, I mean, yeah, and Edge is, of course, as we all know, is 20 times the performer.
Well, how much higher on the all-time list was he than Hulk? Top 50 list?
Was he? I don't know. I'm sure he was, because Hogan
was like 11
really
or something.
Favor, but
Hogan was like 18.
No, it's goddamn retarded. But, I mean, or stupid. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have used that word.
No. But you haven't met his brother. Nevertheless.
Yes. No, I apologize for that. But, it's something that Edge, I don't think has ever really, I don't think he's gotten his due with WWE.
No.
Really, ever.
He really
hasn't. I don't think his place in history is really, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a sure ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know that he's a main event Hall of Famer. I think he might be a Hacksaw Jim Duggan to whoever Shawn Michaels.
I think he's probably a little ahead of. Well, actually, God, that's a difficult question.
It really is.
Sunday headline the main event?
I don't think so.
Well,
you know, maybe. I mean, Dusty Rhodes and the Million Dollar Man headlined last year.
Say Edge is gone for 5 years and they're not like, hey, he's been retired for 1 year. It's Shawn Michaels. We're going to bring him back and induct him the next year like they have been doing. Say they give him 5 to 7, 10 years away and then induct him. His legend would probably be somewhat inflated.
I don't know about the legend, though. I mean, you look at
that's the way it is.
But how many people? But okay, let's look at that. You got Shawn this year, but Shawn this year. Edge is still giving around next year, so who knows what's happening next year? Following year, you got. Let's say you got Taker or someone else, and then you got Taker, and then you got Hunter still got to go in, and you got all these, like, Rock has to go in, and Foley's got to go in, and all these other guys, Backlund, for God's sake, should go.
Backlund's
no, he ain't.
Yes, he is.
No.
Not Backlund, I'm sure, is in all.
No, you are absolutely 100% as we record this audio, wrong about that.
That would be the first
You are wrong. No, Bob Backlund is not in, and I will show you that afterwards, and you can apologize to people next week. Bob Backlund is not in the Hall of Fame. Bob Backlund was offered the Hall of Fame in 2004, the same as when Bobby the Brain, he did not. He has not gone in.
We are modern technology. We are looking this up right now, Nimrod. Okay? And
don't call our listeners that.
No. Well, no, I wasn't.
You don't have a clue what you're doing, do you?
Yes, I do.
No.
Why am I typing?
You know Google?
Told,
you know Google?
I do know.
You don't know Google.
I know. Well, I have had one or two beers at this point. But nevertheless.
I am looking this up for everyone on our lovely show here, Bob Backlund, Hall of Fame. And we are going to find out, no, that Bob Backlund is not in the Hall of Fame. And that's, there you go, why isn't Bob Backlund in the Hall of Fame? And we're on the WrestleZone forums, and it's going to tell us that Bob Backlund...
You know what, you're already screwing this up. Give me the damn computer, and you hit your next subject there. I'm sure I'll have an opinion, and in this case, unlike you, I'll be right.
Well, we talked, I'm going to stay in Mexico, because we talked about Roberto Del Rio, and then we kind of got off topic here, but we're going to talk about Mystico. Sin Caras.
Excellent name.
It means faceless. Yep. And he's got some new masks, and he said he's going to debut the mask. What do you think about on the surface, Sin Caras, and where do you think where do you think they're going to book him?
Well, where are they going to book him? I mean, I think
what do you think of him to begin with? What do you think about him joining the roster first?
Well, it's very interesting that they're bringing in a guy who doesn't speak English,
mm-hmm.
who has a different style. And they're going to give him apparently an opportunity. And I know he's getting paid certainly a good salary.
Pal.
He's a guy who's won the former Wrestling Observer of the Year performer. I believe the performer of Wrestler of the Year.
Wrestler of the Year. I think maybe two time. I think it was 06 at least. Yeah.
And you know, he's drawing a lot of money in Mexico, and they're certainly looking to expand there. I mean, frankly, they're gonna probably edge out CMLL and AAA unless those two manage to work together. They might be able to stave it off for a little while.
I think that's their goal. I think that's their goal, isn't it? You think so? I mean, we don't have any insight that way, but I think that seems to be there. Yeah,
say speculation or bullshit.
Yeah,
one of those two things is actually what.
Well, and it's probably more bullshit than speculation. It's just one of those things that I think that seems to be where they're going. I mean, they had their national expansion, and they're doing this, and now they've
right? I mean, they have done this before,
right?
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy's going to come in. I think it's very interesting. They're not going to give him a chance to acclimate within the minor leagues. I think that a large part of that, and you're right, I don't see Bob Backlund on the list here.
No, he's only Bob.
Because I remember him being on the...
maybe in, like, 94 or something.
I just remember him being up there when he was in... so that's probably why I thought
I bet you I could find it way back
anyway,
when.
So
Billy, Bob, you see?
I believe him
Bob being... Uecker. Fuck.
Bob fucking Uecker. Anyways, you know what? I believe that probably his ego doesn't want him to work in front of 300 people and putting the rings together in FCW. And truthfully,
well, he's not going to FCW. He's not.
No, that's what I'm saying. I believe his ego would not allow him to do that. From what I understand, he's very, very high in himself,
hey.
And somewhat deservedly so. After all, the guy has certainly drawn a lot of money and had a lot of good matches. But he's certainly not popular among his peers, people that have worked with him. So,
well, I shouldn't say that. You shouldn't really, really specify that, because actually, I heard the opposite. Actually, is that it was Alberto Del Rio that.
Okay, let's put it this way. Conan has come out publicly and called him a dick. So, you know.
Del Rio a dick?
No.
Or
no,
Mystico?
Mystico.
Yeah. But he did also, Conan, you want to talk about Conan, and he has actually publicly come out and say that Alberto Del Rio is the one that broke the story Mystico negotiating with WWE.
Del Rio does not want him there. I do believe Mystico or Sin Caras will be probably... I actually doubt he'll be on SmackDown. I believe he'll be on Raw.
See, I don't know. I don't know. And that was going to be one of my questions, is where does he go? To me, it makes more sense because, again, as I talked last show, is that Michael Hayes, I have more trust in him than Brian Gewirtz to develop a new star, and I think that he would be better served on SmackDown. But, and again, I don't know... how much, it's hard to understand how much pull Del Rio actually has, even though by the time Mystico debuts, theoretically, Del Rio is champion.
So
who knows, right? So,
yeah. You know what? We're speculating a lot. Listen, I have a, we have somebody calling in. He's a good friend of mine. I've talked to him many times in the past. He's actually a pro wrestler, so he knows a lot more about the industry than I do.
Yeah, fuck.
His name is Mikey fucking Whipwreck Fuck. Hello, Mikey.
Yeah, fuck. Fuck.
What's up,
fuck, Mo? Fuck. Is that you?
That's me, Mikey.
Fuck.
What's up, Mikey?
How you doing, Mo? Fuck.
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Fuck, I'm doing fucking. I'm fucking. You know, I'm fantastic. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering what's new with you. Do you have any opinions? Anything you want to share? Any stories?
Fuck.
What? What did you do
fuck
today?
Fuck. I just got back. I had fucking. Fuck. It's fucking 10 o'clock. Fuck. In New York. Fuck. I'm just here.
Yeah.
Fuck. I wanted to. You know, I fucking did. I fucking went to.
I don't know what you did.
A fuck, I don't know, restaurant.
Yeah.
Went to a fucking restaurant today.
Fucking restaurant.
That's what I did. That's, fuck, that's what I do.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
You know? Fuck. No, that's what I do.
Yeah, no, that's
fucking restaurant today. I go, okay, so, no, fuck. I go to this fucking restaurant. I'm like, yeah, hey, they're like, I fuck, okay, fuck. I sit down. Fuck.
Okay, fuck.
I fuck. Yeah. I sit down.
Yeah, and they're like, monkey.
Fuck. I sit down. And they're like, okay, take your fucking order. Like, you know, I didn't say that. They're like, can I take your order? I'm like, fuck, what? They didn't say I'm going to take your fucking order because they're fucking, you know,
no,
fucking waiters,
that,
right?
That,
so they're going, fuck, can I take your order, right? I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just fucking sat down.
You said fuck, yeah.
I said, fuck, can I just sat down? No, I told them fuck.
Yeah.
Like, can I just fucking sit down?
No, so like, fucking sat down, yeah.
Get a fucking menu? Like, there you go. I said, what's your fucking soup? They go, oh. Well, we have cream and broccoli. I'm like, you have fucking cream and broccoli? Like, yeah. They're like, you want soup? Yeah, I want fucking soup.
Fucking soup.
Like, I'm like, yo, I
don't
want to. Why? Why wouldn't I want fucking soup? You don't think I want fucking soup? I'm a big guy, but I like fucking soup.
It's fucking big.
So Jay goes, no, I'm sorry, sir. And you can tell the fucking guy was shitting his pants. He's like, oh shit. He's like, no. Because like, I'm a fucking guy with like a red mohawk. Fucking sitting there with a fucking Affliction t-shirt and fucking shorts in his fucking fancy fucking restaurant. And then so he thinks I fucking have some fucking, you know, pull or fucking something. Like,
so I'm trying to get some soup.
And so, no, that's what I want. Can I get some? I said, no, I want some fucking soup.
Oh, fucking soup.
So it's this fucking, he goes, what kind of fucking soup you have? Right? So he's like, you want fucking soup? And I was like, yeah, I want some fucking soup.
So anyway.
So I tell him, fuck. I said, what do you got? And he goes, cream broccoli and cream potato.
Yeah.
I go, fuck. Really?
Fuck.
He goes, yeah, soups. Those are fucking soups. What was the salad? What kind of salad you got? He goes, well, fuck. He goes, well, what salad you got on the menu? So we got to read the fucking menu to find out what the fucking salads are. He goes, well, they're on the menu. I said, so you got to tell me. You're going to fucking tell me. I said, you're going to fucking tell me.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, no.
Tell him.
No, sir. So, are you, what?
Huh?
Yeah. Fuck.
What? You say? Fucking menu?
Fuck. So I fucking lose a restaurant. Fucking guy. It's a fucking waiter.
Fucking waiter.
Well, he fucking tells me. He's like, he keeps telling me, I'm asking cream fucking potato. What kind of fucking say? It's in the fucking menu. Why don't I don't go there and read the fucking menu? I go there and fucking have a waiter tell me what the fuck.
Yeah, fuck.
Fuck.
So anyways, thanks, Mikey, for your story. Anything else?
No, fuck. Anytime. You guys are friends. It's fucking time you guys fucking want to talk. Fuck, I'm fucking there. You just tell me, Mo. Fuck.
All right, fucking Mikey.
Just tell me. Fuck.
All right.
Okay, goodbye, folks. Fuck.
All right, Mikey Whipwreck. You know who could top Mikey Whipwreck? I think Bruce has probably had time to get his head straight. I'd like to... Bruce, you're there? I wanted to ask you about.
Flux and Nox pilification.
Bruce, what? But did you ever get a
bear and such? You know, it's my sister Eddie.
Thanks, Bruce. We'll come back to you in a second, Bruce. We'll check with you before the show's over. And you know, hopefully, get our chance to. Get our answers.
Yeah, no thanks, Bruce. That's, we'll get there. And thanks, Mikey fucking Whipwreck, fuck, for coming on the show, too. That's
yeah,
fucking
Mikey,
good.
Mikey's
friend. Yeah, I think Mikey, we got some stuff going on. I think later we got Vinny Roo, maybe.
Yeah,
and,
we'll be, obviously,
Alf,
a lot of questions.
And we actually, I got contact on to it. We might not be this week, but coming up, we got a good friend of the show, the alien life form known as Alf told me he wants to be on the show.
Yeah, we also have coming up. That's one of the many people we have coming up. Of course, Vince McMahon. I usually talk to him 2-3 times a day.
DDP told me he wants to come on.
DDP is.
You're the one. Yeah, you're the guy.
And DDP, of course, because I've been doing YRG.
Really?
Yeah. No. Well. Yeah. No.
Shit! I thought it worked. No.
I'm a fat guy, guys.
He's,
I'm
like totally. 80 pounds. He's like Arthur before he touched down. But anyway, now it's you've had your turn. You know, have we done?
Oh, all Christ, of I got so many more subjects. That Jesus. I'm going to ask you this one actually before
Up on a minute here. So
yeah,
we're
I know.
An hour,
we're coming up pretty soon, and we're going to hit some of yours sometime, but not today. Just really quickly, since we're talking about Vinnie Roux, Dixie Carter. Is she simply naive, or is she actually stupid?
Ah, come on. I think I honestly, I didn't really want to hit this topic, let's be honest, folks, here about it. But because I don't think she's stupid. I honestly don't think she's a dumb person. From everything I've heard, and I've got the kayfabe.
We watched the U shoot.
We watched the U shoot. I mean, you watch it with me. We watched the kayfabe commentaries. I mean, she's not an idiot. She's not a stupid person.
Saying she's not an idiot, it might be a bit of a stretch.
No, I mean, she's not a stupid person. She's not a stupid
person. We're just trying to figure out naive or stupid. That's what we're trying to figure out.
And naive. I mean, that's the deal. I mean, like, I'm a smart person, but I couldn't go be the general manager of a soccer team.
Well, that's an argument to be had on another day, but nevertheless.
But I couldn't be I could not, you know, so I understand that. And so, no, I mean.
But nevertheless, wouldn't you at least, I mean, I understand.
I think this
you would try and study the business instead of just surrounding yourself if you did become a manager of a European soccer
yes,
team.
Yes, and that's why it makes you an idiot and not stupid.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, and there is a different thing. I do believe if we ever actually had an IQ test done on Dixie Carter, she would be on the low end of average, just above dim. I don't believe she actually would be count as dim, but I think she would be just above that. I don't think she's that bright, and unfortunately, she seems like a nice person, but she's also extremely naive.
Yes.
And unfortunately, for that reason, I don't believe that I can trust that company will ever get... TNA is the first company I gave up on because it's the company I wanted to succeed the most.
Well, that's okay. So here we are with 36 minutes. We got about 15 minutes to go. So let's have a little bit of a discussion about Hunter. And let's talk about Paul Levesque. Let's talk about Hunter's Helmsley. Let's talk about how he is going to, from all reports, sort of ascend to power here in 2011. And what are your thoughts around what's going
to
happen?
My thought is I'm going to need another beer to talk about Hunter.
Sure. No, and really, it's what it is about Hunter being in, you know, being the Vince McMahon role, and what do you think? What do you think will happen? What do you think his influences will be? And do you think it's a good, bad, and different thing for the business?
Well, I think obviously his influences will always be tempered by the fact, regardless if he ascends to the number one position in the company, as long as Vince is alive, Vince will always oversee what's going on.
Well, yeah, of course. But
let's say theoretically that Vince is completely out of the picture. What would his influence be? I think people forget that this is an entire corporation, that it has a structure already, that it has a creative crew already, that it has a corporate structure already, that the influence that one man can have, even assembly, when he ascends to that, it may be overstated.
Let's not overstate it, because the writing team writes at this point for Vince. Okay, the writing team gathers, and Vince goes, yeah, go with it. No, don't go with it.
Now, many times that writing team sits there and going, oh, I want to get something on the air.
And Vince goes, pal, you can't fucking do that.
No, but many times they go, what's the best way to get on the air? Oh, Vince will like this. Instead of what's best for what brought the most money, what's best for the product, will Vince like the
most. Because that's one and the same, right? So now instead of Vince, you're taking Vince out of that chair, and Hunter's fucking sitting there. And so the meetings, those same meetings, people should write because I think Hunter's going to want this. Not I think Vince is going to want this. That's the difference, okay? So you can't just say, whenever, even though Vince is still alive, that he's going to have some influence, and he still will have some influence. But when you sit in those creative meetings, what I'm proposing and what seems to be proposed is that Hunter's going to have that chair. Okay, yes. And so Hunter's going to be the one that says, yay, nay, do, don't. And so that's the deal. And so what do you think that influence is going to be?
Well, how much of that influence will happen without Stephanie on the side?
Mm.
And Stephanie's influence, is that a
Stephanie
good thing,
hasn't,
or bad thing?
Stephanie hasn't had any influence in a long time, from what I understand. And Stephanie doesn't seem, she's a mom. She's been doing some other things. No, really, from the creative perspective.
When your children get to, say, 8, 10 years old,
yeah, but okay, let's, still be the same age. Let's not worry about that now. Let's just worry about it, what's going on at this point, right? And let's
what do
worry,
you think Hunter's going to do different? Do you think anything will be different?
Well, and that's the thing, is that I think Hunter, and I think this is the school is kind of out on what's going to happen with it, because obviously nobody knows for sure. The thing that I look at to be the detriment to it is that Hunter kind of grew up on that NWA, Flair, Steamboat stuff, right? And
yeah,
I always
Harley,
look,
Harley, not wait,
no, maybe Harley.
Yeah,
you don't know.
No,
but I just look at the fact that WWF, okay, got successful not only because they took everybody from everywhere, and that was a main reason, right? But that'll never happen again, right?
No.
But they had undercard shit, and I'm sitting there as a kid from Ontario I watched a little bit of Stampede, I watched a little bit of Maple Leaf, but at the time then it was WWF, right? And I didn't know where Ricky Steamboat or where Macho Man Randy Savage or where Outlaw Ron Bass or where any of these guys actually came from. I just knew that here they are now.
Yes.
And so this guy doesn't like this guy because of this, is what they put on TV, right? Or Roddy Piper. You know anything about Piper?
Everybody in the day, Outlaw Ron Bass may not have been a star, but he wasn't a jobber, so he had a feud always.
Mm-hmm.
Earthquake had a feud always.
But of course,
everybody had an issue that would be give them a reason to face an opponent on a house show, and if the issue was hot enough, then that would be at one of the four major pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But everybody got it. Whereas nowadays, you can have somebody like Daniel Bryan hold the belt for, I don't know, was he held it for 4 or 5 months at this point?
Yeah,
I don't
believe
he's actually had a feud with anybody. I don't consider 3 weeks in a row facing Dolph Ziggler when they're both champions an actual feud. I don't consider Ted DiBiase. DiBiase saying, I want the belt, but there never being a true issue, a reason for Bryan to really dislike him. No give and take back and forth. Just a couple matches where Bryan beats him. That's not a feud. That's a series of matches, and they're a different thing.
Well, that's...
Everybody used to have a feud. Everybody had a purpose.
Well, exactly. And that's, they don't have that anymore, and they don't. And I don't know what to tell you, because that's just, wrestling isn't as good as it used to be. I mean, until they get back to that, and that was one thing, you know, we talk about it, but Vince Russo, his one big thing, his big goal was that everybody on TV had to have something important to do.
Yeah.
And undercard, overcard, middle card, whatever
there,
it was,
something,
right?
To that, but if the characterization and the writing's poor, it doesn't matter.
Hmm. Well, that's right, but at the same time, it's like, we're sitting here now, and we're sitting with nothing.
No.
You know, we've got the main events, and then we got nothing.
Yeah.
So what the hell are we doing?
Well, that's all that draws,
nothing.
Pal.
Okay, Mo, what's your next topic here?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get it. Hunter, are you saying that you think writers will be gone? Are you saying that you think it'll be a vastly different product?
No, the problem I have
with... You can't get rid of writers.
No, well, you can, but...
You're thinking everybody will have a point all of a sudden?
No, I'm arguing almost the opposite. It's because the problem I have with Hunter is that Hunter grew up with an NWA product.
Yes.
Where's the NWA right now?
Well, yeah.
Where is it?
No.
Right. It became WCW.
NWA Wildside?
But NWA became WCW, right?
Yeah, no.
So where's WCW right now?
Yeah.
Fuck, it's toast.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vince won. And Vince fucking won because Vince is a WWF. /WWE. Vince doesn't fucking know that right now.
Here's my thing.
He doesn't fucking know that. Is it you got Hunter going, we should do this? I mean, when I watch Hunter, and this is, granted, this is a long goddamn time ago because Goldberg was coming into the territory, and Hunter's got the fucking Harley race mustache, and he's got the $10,000 briefcase there when he's opening and saying, I got a $100,000 bounty on shit. I'm going, fuck you. This is not fucking 1983, and this is not fucking Georgia or fucking Alabama or whatever fucking backwoods shit that this fucking worked with. This doesn't fucking
that
go.
That said, people in Alabama and Georgia, we love.
They're fucks. No, I don't even know. I'm sorry. I don't even know. I'm just kidding you.
No, I know what you're saying. But I mean, see your point. And I think anybody can understand your point. But I'm just saying, my worry about Hunter taking over, as people are kind of have a hope up on what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I think back to myself.
I don't think people have any expectation.
I think some people have expectations that it'll be better, they improve it, or hoping he will. But I'll just say this, because people talk about Vince McMahon, and I get very frustrated. I see people in other combat sports who are from other countries, who are smaller sizes, who can draw big money.
Vadim?
Vadim. Okay. But people who can draw different money.
Oh.
And I see Hunter, and I worry
here.
About, I mean, I see people like Caval being released, despite his skill. I see people like Tyson Kidd, who's an extremely talented performer, being turned into a job guy simply because he's a small guy.
Well, you know.
And you know what? An idea that performers will be allowed to perform to the best of their ability, or there'll be any change in that, will not happen, because after all, this is the guy when they said, Kurt Angle, let's put the belt on him, Vince said that. Hunter said, oh, he's too small. And Vince said, well, what would happen if he fought him? And Hunter just shut his mouth, because obviously if Hunter fought Kurt Angle would wipe his ass up and down the entire ring. I mean, it would be a joke.
Wow.
But this is still a guy who I think has that mentality about size. He's a former bodybuilder. I don't think we're going to see a vastly different product in any way, shape, or form.
I think we'll see a little bit different, but you know, it's not going to be too much. And honestly, though, I think hopefully Stephanie, of all people, will be to the advent, not the detriment of their product.
Well, you can only hope. You can only hope.
We can only hope. But
and then again, she's the person who's responsible for giving us writers in the first place. And I think having people to control or to guide a storyline with a storytelling background is a good thing. A story should be told in three acts. There should be character development. Should be twists. All that should be logical. But unfortunately, writers and script writing has kept people from reaching their potential as a large. It makes for a slick, easy TV product, one that won't lose a lot of ratings, but one that won't gain a lot of ratings.
Well, the problem you have, though, is that you're talking about that, and you're talking about, yeah, okay, the script writers, they're not going to do this, and they're not going to do that. But, I mean, and talking about acts and stuff, but, I mean, it's not the same, because it's not the wrestling business.
No, it's not.
Writing is not the act. Is not the wrestling business. And until they figure that out,
scriptwriters to help people put together storylines in a three act storyline that makes sense and is logical and has character development, that's fine.
They don't have
writers that are booking that don't understand the psychology of fans or wrestling. That's a fucking fail.
Well, I think booking and writing are two different things. So it's just going to be.
But unfortunately for them, they're not. Now, before we're unfortunately...
We're almost out of time here.
I need to check on Bruce. But first off, we've been talking about it for a while. We have on the line, this is an interview we've been looking for an awful long time, Vince Russo. Vince, how are you doing today?
Well, Mo, is it?
It's Mo. Yes.
Mo, well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, sir. And of course, we want to talk to you about a bit about the characters you have on, and your character development, and what's your theory behind it, and what is it that you see a guy and you go, that guy's going to be a star.
Well, Mo and Addy. If I can be honest with you...
Oh, absolutely. I prefer it.
When I look at a character, it's all about whether they can draw money. Mm-hmm. And I look at certain characters, and I go, wow, this guy is going to be a star. And I look at Orlando Jordan and I say, this guy is going to be a star.
Well, I know. And Orlando Jordan has been used since he's been there. But I'm just checking. Were you responsible for dressing him up as a flower girl for the Kurt Angle wedding coming up?
That episode has not yet aired.
But he was dressed as a flower girl.
Yes, Orlando Jordan.
The man is homosexual, is that correct?
Yes, Orlando Jordan is going to be a flower girl in the Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett wedding. Yes. He is.
That's going to draw money.
Homosexual, and so he is going to be the flower girl on the wedding.
Yes.
Drawing money, he will. I will tell you right now, we are expecting that episode to draw us a lot of ratings.
Now, but ratings is what it's all about, right?
The ratings on our show, just like when I ran WCW and Nitro was on the air, that they would draw ratings.
Well, that's
and
true.
That is what we are looking for, is we are looking for ratings.
That's right. And you said you see Orlando Jordan as a star as soon as he walks in a room.
As soon as he walks into a room, and we see him as a star.
The bisexual gets the bar.
The bisexualism with him and Ric Flair, they are who I beat.
Now,
is
you,
a star.
You know stars, like David Arquette, for instance. I'm wondering if you know David Arquette being currently, I believe, I'm not sure if he's exited rehab or not. He's had his issues. Are you aware if his rehab was WWE-sponsored?
I don't know if he had sponsored the rehab. I know that the WWE... Hey, and say what you will about Vince. Vince McMahon and I were very close. Vince McMahon and I, he was like a father figure to me, okay? He was like my father, Vince McMahon. I walked in to Titan Tower and I said, we need to do things like this. And he told me, okay, Vince, you write the show. So I wrote the show.
And then you taught him some things, right?
And Vince McMahon and I, he was a father figure to me. And Vince, when I knew it was time to go, he asked me, he said, I'm not spending a lot of time with my kids.
And where did you get these
kids.
Ideas from? Howard Stern?
And Vince said to me, Vince, you need to hire a nanny.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, okay, it is time for me to go. And I did not want to do it.
No, you didn't want to do it.
Vince McMahon, as I said, was a father figure to me. Oh. He was a father figure. And I did not want to do it.
So you went to WCW and ratings through the roof?
I went to WCW. And I told Bill Bush we would put the ratings.
Can you be honest with me here, or
Mo? If I can be honest with you, I did not. I went to book WCW Thunder. I went to book Thunder, and we had planned a mixed tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
And after we had the creative meeting, Tony Schiavone come up to me and said, what if David Arquette won the title? And I said, Tony, you know, I never thought about that. I had never thought that about David Arquette winning the title. That was Tony Schiavone.
Tank Abbott, was that your idea, or was that just wondering?
Tank Abbott
was a bad idea.
Tank Abbott was if we were having an over the. Let me tell you about Tank Abbott. Tank Abbott,
can you be honest with me while you're
if
doing?
I can be honest with you, Mo, Tank Abbott was a creation that if we were having an over-the-top rope battle royal, And we were having a legitimate Ultimate Fighting Champion in our Battle Royal.
Being fake.
He had to win
wrestling.
The Battle Royal.
You always talk about being fake.
He had to win the Battle Royal. There were no Japs in that Battle Royal.
Oh, well, that's a whole other... Like, I look at TNA and I think, you know what could really reinvigorate that? Is if you brought in some superstars from all around the world in order to allow the X Division to really shine. What's your thought about that?
Mo, I have to tell you that...
Honestly?
Honest to goodness, that nobody, no American, wants to hear someone that does not speak the English language.
No, like,
and I understand that there are great luchador and there are great wrestlers from other countries who can do the high flying, who can do unbelievable maneuvers.
Oh, unbelievable.
But they will never.
As unbelievable as you.
They will never be top stars.
No.
If they cannot speak the English language.
Manny Pacquiao, for instance, the top draw in boxing and drawing over $1 million. Even you can fight a scrub and draw over.
Manny Pacquiao is a great example of someone who is an American athlete who is a heavyweight champion who will be able to draw crowds and get ratings.
Yeah, no, he's the boxing champ. He's 145 pounds, Vinny. Were you at all aware that like he's like 140, something like that?
So he's not the heavyweight champion?
No, he's not the heavy.
He is a champion.
Yeah.
And he is a great example of an American champion who can get the job done.
And that's why he draws all the money.
And that is why he has got a buy rate through the roof.
Yeah, like over $1 million.
And yes, okay.
He's from the Philippines, Vinny. I don't think the Philippines. I don't think this guy speaks a word of English. Like, but if he does, you couldn't even...
So he does not, what now, speak any English?
He's the boxing champion. He's like 140 pounds, doesn't speak any English, but he's a huge draw.
Like, well, we would not be interested in an individual like that.
Yeah.
And I do not know, I don't think that interest would continue through the roof like in TNA.
No, well, it is boxing and it's real, so it's not the same.
I have to get going, guys.
Yeah, no, thanks, Vinny, for your insight.
Thanks, Vinny. Okay, guys, and if I can be honest with you, I would love to come back anytime.
All you need to do is
send me an email, and I will respond to you.
Thanks. Vinny, okay. Thank you very much. Oh, that was fascinating insight. We learned
thanks,
a lot.
Bro.
Speaking of learning a lot, some guy we've learned a lot from tonight, just our last chance. We're finally going to get a chance. I just wanted to say hello to... Thank you, Bruce, for your interview. Thank you for the insight. Thank you so much for everything you did.
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good night, Bruce.
Good... All right, good night, Bruce.
Wow. Great insight. Bruce Hart, particularly insightful, I thought.
I think so. I think we had a good show. I think we had another good show. So thanks very much, Mo, and thanks to all the listeners. And
we're
I guess
OUT, right?
I guess, as a homosexual once told me, we're OUT. And we'll talk to you later. Okay, thanks.